Blog Talk Radio.
Freaky darlings, and welcome to this special episode of the Black Lace Diaries, brought to you by the Late Night Poets at allpoetry.com. The group hosts shows every night of the week on a variety of topics. Baby, I'm worth it. To ensure that we have technical difficulties. But we do host shows every night of the week to ensure there's something for everyone to enjoy. And if you want to support our shows, we do have anthologies available on Amazon, which boasts a wonderful selection of poetry offered up by the poets of our group. Tonight, we dive behind the veil of intimacy and look at the games that you can play to heighten the senses, crawl inside our lovers' minds, and make their imaginations run wild. Or perhaps even allow us to give over to raw carnality. In the end, there are no losers, so long as we stick to the rules. And with me tonight, for those that don't know, I'm Victoria Frost. And with me tonight, I do have my new co-host, Versus Goliath. How are you doing tonight, Versus?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Thank you for asking. It's been a ride.
Hey, it's been a good ride so far, I think. And we do have two victims, or, you know, guests. We'll call them guests, make them feel good. We have Casey Day. How are you doing, Casey?
Hey, I'm doing really good. Congrats, versus.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here, as always.
And glad that you're able to be here, Casey. This is a once in a blue moon thing to have you here, so I'm really excited to have you. And then, as always, we have the wonderful and amazing FaZe. How are you doing, FaZe?
I'm pretty good. Good to be here.
Glad to have you here. I'm excited. FaZe is always just wonderful. I love FaZe. I'm one day going to steal her. I think she just knows this at this point. So, versus, why don't you tell us about the contest that you hosted this week?
So, this week I decided to host a contest about autophilic euphoria. And the whole idea was to make poems based around the sensuality of sound and how to elicit certain feelings from just the sounds of passionate lovemaking. So I was just inspired by different music, even more music than actually was put up, but I chose some that were kind of a little more raunchy. I almost was tempted to just do like bass heavy stuff or stuff that was like really in-depth sound creation. But I was like, I might be going a little bit too far, a little too 5D on the music stuff. So I was like, just stick to stuff that, you know, people can relate to, that you can, you know, base yourself off of. And I think, yeah, hopefully it was all right. I'm definitely excited for all the poems that I've only gotten to see little tidbits of so far. So I'm, like, really excited. I tried not to read them so that I have that, like, really, you know, that first response to things. I'm sure they're going to be
sometimes that first response is that sometimes that first response is awesome. And it's actually fun. The idea, you know, this audio sensuality, I think that's a really fun idea. But it also reminds me of some people experience illusion, which is it's a skin orgasm caused by noise and music. And so some people, when they listen to music, can actually physically feel the pleasure that the music causes them on their skin. And so if you've ever experienced that, fun fact, since we're talking about music and audiophilia, that's called frisson, is feeling that wave of pleasure running over your skin as you listen. So, I do have one more caller, so I'm going to pop over and see who they are real quick. But versus, why don't you start us off with a poem tonight?
Absolutely. And since we are delighted to have you on our show, Casey, why don't you go ahead and read? It should be up in the chat right now. The poem by Kel Smythe.
Oh, well, and I'm going to pause you because Kel actually just came on the line. So let's look at a different poem just in case. Well, let's not put her on the spot as soon as she comes in. Let's pick a different one. We do have a couple SoundClouds. So why don't we start off with Valentina? Do you see Valentina's link?
Yeah, I can get to it if it's not already posted up.
No worries. No worries. We'll just hang out for a little bit. How are you doing tonight, Kels? Glad to have you here.
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
Good. This is my second of my long days, so I'm running on two monsters, a grande Starbucks caramel macchiato, and water. So we'll see how I do.
There should be enough caffeine, I think.
I mean, I already have insomnia caused by trauma, so, you know, we'll see. Okay, this is going to be Valentina Holloway, Close, and she does have an audio.
Close. This is the hour my thoughts always turn to you. You were the sunshine that was missing from my life, and you knew. You said you just knew. Pressed against the wall, inhibition scattered on the floor around us. You hold me like I'm drowning, and my knees are shaking from it. My lips part, whispering in a language only we understand. Touch me, please, everywhere. Written in frottage with my insistent fingertips. I can't look you in the eyes because I'm afraid of spilling the longing, melting like wax against you, sublime heat, suspended breath. But this is more than touch, more than a kiss, the flick of a tongue. It's our trust. This is suspended time with your hands on my hips. There is no self-conscious, no need for forgiveness. This is rapture for my hands and your ragged breath as they trace poetry into your chest, electricity as my lips follow. I descend to my knees, and your fingers knot my hair. You forget the name of every woman you ever knew in the sound of the moans escaping my lips, and your defenses fall like a waterfall in the movement of my mouth. You look down, memorizing the shape of my breasts, and the image will be blazed so deep in your mind that years later you will become hard just at the thought of them, the rise and fall of them as I sway before you, brimming over fuller than the moon, fuller than the ocean at high tide, moaning honey down my throat, relinquishing all control. You lift me up to you and kiss my neck as I feel you still tremble. You cup my face. You kiss me as if I am the brightest thing you have ever slipped into your soul. I forget how to count. You whisper something to me, and the only thing I remember is I love you and the pulsing waves I thrum through at the thought of your name.
Oh, that is a stunning write and read by Valentina. And we always do love it when people provide a SoundCloud because we get to hear artists' words in their own voice. And so for those that can't call in, we have this, which gives us the authenticity and the original expression of a piece that, you know, sometimes isn't captured when you have someone else read your work. So thank you, Valentina, for that. That was stunning. And to start us off with comments, Casey, would you mind sharing your thoughts?
Yeah, wow. Stunning is a fantastic word for this. It's just absolutely gorgeous. I really loved, let me see if I find it here, when she said, I can't look you in the eyes because I am afraid of spilling the longing, melting like wax against you, sublime heat suspended. I thought that was very raw and honest. There was a lot of moments in this poem that were so personal and just flowed so well, and there was no hang-ups. She really did just an awesome job with this. I felt close, which is cool. Well done. Absolutely beautiful.
That was a fantastic comment. And you're right, she really did kind of capture that idea of close or closeness in it, and especially to take a song, because I'm assuming that this is based off of, this one's based off of Close. I was thinking of Nine Inch Nails, Closer. But to take this song and to express it the way she did, it really does beautifully capture it with sensuality. So that was a stunning comment, Casey. Thank you. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, my God. I wish I could write like that.
Do you need a moment? Need a moment after that one? I don't blame you, dear.
I'm just a lot more inhibited when it comes to writing this sort of thing. This is amazing writing. You were the sunshine that was missing from my life, and you knew, you said you just knew, pressed against the wall, inhibition scattered on the floor around us. It was just wow. And it just transcends and it just keeps going and it just builds and builds and builds and it's just wow. You know, until the climax. It's awesome. Very awesome writing.
That was a beautiful comment, Kel. Thank you. And I do really like those words too, because she captured a very intimate moment without becoming vulgar. And I think especially when you write sensually or borderline erotic, it can come off almost as pornographic or voyeuristic. And, you know, she wrote in such a beautiful way that while we understand there's a very intimate act going on, it does not come off as overly explicit. And she captures the emotional aspect of it too, which really emphasizes, again, that idea of being close. So I think that was a beautiful comment, because honestly, I like to say that I'm a sensual poet to some extent, but I'm not sure that even I could match something like this. Not that I'm the like end all be all, but you know what I mean? So beautiful comment, Kel. Thank you. And Versus, what did you think?
Well, I agree with Rex in the chat. You kind of need a cigarette after this one. It's got that feel to it. Oh, man, I kind of feel it in my soul just reading through it. And like you're saying, it touches on the subject of what could be almost pornographic subject matter, but in such a classy way, in such a almost detailed and specific way where you lose yourself in the sensuality of it, the certain parts of the whispering in a language we understand, and then how it goes into touch me, please. That, like, even how it's written kind of just flows into itself, but it, you know, it describes things, you know, just that passionate moment very well. And it really captures, I had to like go down and see the prompt and see that it's close. And I was like, I agreed with you. I was like, it could really fit either or, but I can see how with the close from Nick Jonas being the one, it's like that music video too. I could see this kind of being that ebb and flow of how that music video goes. And so I really like how she framed it, how the stanzas go. This is just a well-written poem, and I'm really happy to have the SoundCloud, because that just blew it out of the water with everything else. So really awesome poem. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, absolutely. And as you've said and others have said, this really could be on that borderline pornographic type of moment, because it is so intimate and it is so detailed. And I think what really buoyed that, what really helped it, is that she doesn't just capture the moment, but she captures us in our senses. So it's not like we're sitting as a third party getting to watch this. It's almost as if we are it's almost as if we are actively present. So the idea of how he's wrapping his fingers within her hair, where was that word? Oh, good Lord. I'm not going to find it quickly. I descend to my knees, your fingers knotted, not my hair. The idea of movement, you hold me like I'm drowning and my knees are shaking from it. It's a very present type of poem that pulls you into it. We get to be there in it. And like you said, and like Rex said, it is kind of one of those things where you need something after it. You need a drink of water. You need a cigarette. Maybe you need a snack, because it is just so beautifully capturing that moment that I think that we can't help but empathize with it. Remember those feelings. And if you haven't, that's okay. But most people have experienced the knees shaking. They've experienced the desire. They've experienced a powerful moment with your lover in which you let them take control and you get to please them. And from that, you are pleased, getting to watch their pleasure. And even this, I remember, is I love you and the pulsing wave I thrum through at the thought of your name. It's again, that kind of like haptic memory Because who hasn't had a great night and then the next day they're sitting there like, oh yeah, that was great. And their body just responds to it. This really reads like that. This reads like a very vivid memory that we've gotten to share and gotten to take a part of. And so it really kind of leaves you with that breathless moment of just trying to regain yourself. So beautiful comments, everyone. Fantastic poem and read by Valentina Holloway. So thank you for that. And with that, Versus, where are we off to next?
We are
apparently
headed
we're talking
off
about snacks.
To where we began. We're
oh,
going to
Kels
go
is going
to
be put on the spot.
Kel, if you don't mind reading for us your lovely poem.
I don't mind at all.
I mean,
yeah.
I was going to say, do you want to follow the one that was just read? Maybe we need to put Rex on the spot. I mean, well, I don't know if we really want to do that to our viewers.
Mine's rather timid and mild compared to that. But, yeah, I'll go ahead and get it done.
It's going to be great.
Okay. This is Cut Me Loose. Cut me loose. Set me down freely from a caged body closed in the clothes of unfitting restraints, skin tight, laced up, can't breathe. Kiss your breath into me, unlace my dress. I want to feel you, your fleshed muscles, calloused hands ripping my panties and passions. Free me of inhibitions, loosen my desired flesh. Pressed flesh to flesh, arc into me as I arc into you, nails raking your back, biting at your neck, mindless passions, loose-limbed to wrap around you, shiver, tremble, and convulse. End poem.
You say that it's not on par with the last one. Your host would say that you are a lie. That is a lie. That was stunning, but I don't want to comment first on it. So I'm going to make Versus comment first on it. So Versus, what do you think?
I'm so happy you chose me first to comment on it. Thank you so much. Kel, I agree. You put it down. This is just as sensual. If anything, we've been talking about how you have this of just being able to, and it doesn't do it justice, but like journal or diary, you're how you feel and go, like you're, what's happening. And so the way you're capable of just bringing somebody into what's happening, even with, it's honestly more poignant that it's just this honest expression of what is happening, where the last poem is very flowery and has clouds and marshmallows, like all this fluff to it. Yours is to the point, and you can get that feel from it. And where the other one is maybe putting your hand on a stove, this is like a flash fire of just super heat where you don't even know how to react to it, of just pure heat. And then, like, you have to go back and you can't even recreate that heat you felt in that first time, which I think is just a cool thing to happen. So thank you very much for sharing it. It's really good. I've appreciated all of it. And I always love the nails raking down the back, biting at your neck, like that part of it. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Beautifully said, Versus. And I would agree. We have many times, whether you're on the show or not, talked about how we love how you have this fluid thought, be it a poem that is more philosophical or this one, which feels more like a memory. You really do make it vivid and personal with the way that you do. There's not that filler. There's not that fluff. You're getting to the point, and sometimes those points are just enough to allow the imagination to run wild without telling us exactly what's going on, which I think is what makes your work so effective. So that was a beautiful comment, Versus, just stunning. And Kel and Casey, what did you think?
Sorry, I had to unmute. Oh, my God, Kel. Okay, so first off, now I'm nervous because both of those poems were, like, really good. And obviously yours is just as good as the last one, if not better. I am, like, I'm absolutely in love with your beginning. The cut me loose, set me down freely from a caged body, closed in into clothes of unfitting restraints, skin tight, laced up, can't breathe. That right there is so intense and so original. And it's just, it says a lot. It's like you're trapped in your body or in your skin kind of thing until he comes and he sets you free from that and with your passion. And it's just, it's so intense. The whole thing is very intense. I like the way that you described the man, and you mentioned his calloused hands. I think that's really attention to detail, but also really important in explaining what kind of person he was. I thought the whole thing was very sexy. I love the way that you express yourself. So yeah, don't ever put your work down because you are amazing, and I loved it.
Thank you. You guys are gonna make me cry.
Well, they are words well deserved. But I have to say, I'm sitting over here a little disappointed, because that was a stunning comment, and I love that you were able to pull not just the unbinding of her on a physical level, Casey, but you also pulled in that personal level, because with the right lover, they really can remove some of the restraints that we allow us to hinder ourselves. You know, perhaps you get to try thin things you tried before because you have that security. So I love that you brought that in. But again, I'm sitting over here all disappointed because I won't lie. I have a collection of corsets. I know, surprise, surprise, Victoria wears corsets. I have over 50, almost 60 steel-bone corsets and varying styles and whatnot. And so this part of me wanting to go last is that, to be fully honest, it brought back a memory. I can't tell you how frustrating it is to be in a moment with someone that you care about, an intimate moment, and you have to unlace a steel-bone corset. It is an almost a form of foreplay in and of itself, because it is painstaking. You can't just rip that kind of fabric. You can't just unzip it and go. Yes, there are some that you can unzip and go, but not all of them. You know, sometimes you have to go through these little latches and you have to take your time, and it is a delay of desire. So I appreciated that after you went through this moment of having this cage being lifted from you, there was then the frustration and the need expressed in the tearing of panties. Because a man doesn't mind being careful when he can't tear through something, but if it takes 15-20 minutes just to unlace a corset, and all the while urge and desire are being added to it, yeah, he's going to get a little bit more aggressive, and there's always kind of that fun jolt that comes with it. You captured those little details that at least bring back vivid memories and perhaps even bring, you know, daydreams to people who might enjoy something like that or do enjoy something like that, because right after that is that need met. There's no moments of, I'm going to lick your body, I'm going to trace the threads that were left on your body from the dress. No. After that, it is flesh to flesh. The foreplay was the undressing, and that was enough. And so from there, you get to see the need, the desire, not just on his side, but on your side, as you rake your nails down his back, biting at them, mindlessly passionate as he arcs into you, leaving you both wrapped around each other and trembling. Because when you've had that barrier, when you've waited, when you've been anticipating this for hours or minutes or days or, you know, just anything, there's not that time to do the pleasantries and the sweets. Sometimes it's about being with the person and meeting them and finally having those barriers gone so that you might feel their skin to yours. And to me, that's what this really captures. It really captures all of that intensity and yet the frustration and the patience leading up to it. And I do appreciate that the start of your poem very easily reads as someone cutting you know, cut me loose. They're taking their time. They have to take their time, even though there's that desire, until finally you're left shivering, trembling, and convulsing, which really does express the satisfaction of the act from all of that. It's this beautiful little sandwich that just is so satisfying in your words. Not overly metaphorical, you know, there's not so many images and depictions and details that we get caught up in it. We get to understand the sheer need. And truthfully, that is what makes your poem just stunning. So as Casey said, as Versus said, do not discount your work. It is definitely far more impactful than you might realize. So beautiful, beautiful job, my dear.
Thank you very much, Victoria.
Absolutely. All right, and Versus, where do you think we should go next? What is on the menu?
I think that we go to you reading the poem I just posted up into the board. I'm agreeing with myself. I think it's a good idea.
Well, I was worried that perhaps we might have some discord between you and yourself, and we might go somewhere else. But that's okay. I've got the link up, so now we're here. This is A Lover's Dance by Forgotten Mage. Within magnetic gaze, eyes are locked, desire, drawing desire and urging feet to move, a need for fingers to blister the skin, guide the sway of hips with the press of a palm, back to belly. Fingertips finding anchor at the nape of the neck, shivering with a reminder of hearing heated breath and growing need. The caressing of lips on sensitive skin, siphoned sighs from the source. My being left to quiver, grinding to ground myself in this moment. So you take me softly in your arms, make me sing in notes unknown, writhing as you spin my world, to pour your essence into me, quenching my needy fire. End poem. Oh, that was a beautiful write. And Kel, would you mind starting us off with some thoughts on this one?
Not at all. This is really beautiful. With magnetic gaze, eyes are locked, drawing desire and urging feet to move. It's just very eloquent and sensual. But it's also, it has a nice lightness to it. It's not real. Damn it, I'm having an awful time thinking of my words tonight. It's not
That's
graphic.
Okay. We're talking about a fiery topic.
Exactly. I have problems with the other show, too. I keep forgetting what I want to say. But it's not graphic or, like, you know, you were saying before, pornographic or anything. It's just soft and gentle, and it's an easy, soft read. Very beautiful.
Beautifully said. And it is. Honestly, I'm a little surprised. This was definitely a softer read than what I thought would be going into it, and especially, like, glancing through it, seeing that last line. Often we so think of fire as something burning and passionate, and yet this reads more like intimate touches with a bit of heat, which is beautiful. It's a beautiful capturing. So thank you for that, Kel. And Casey, what did you think?
I was really, I guess, what would you say, intrigued? I found it interesting that her first three stanzas were all very physical and tangible. It was all things in the moment that she could see, feel, touch. It was very real. And then the last stanza, where more of the euphoria kicks in, she changes to a more metaphysical, or not necessarily tangible. It turns to, how would you say that? Like, speaking more from, like, I don't know how you would say that, like a from the mind and spirit and the feelings going on and less about what the physical actions are. So I thought that it was really interesting, and I liked that a lot about this poem, is that it kind of went from being something physical to something almost metaphysical or spiritual to her. And I think that's kind of how sex is, you know, if I can be so blunt. But you kind of start out physically, and then it turns into something else. And so I really enjoyed that in this poem.
I think that's a really beautifully observant comment, because you're right. I agree. It did really read a lot like this physical descriptions of physical action, the physical touching, the idea of how they are there present together, to suddenly the effects of that union. It was something that then turned to that connection, like you said, that metaphysical idea. And I think that that really does, like you said, play into the idea of sex, sensuality, and intimacy, because I've often said that that act is very much like a worship. It might be fun to get the foreplay going to get there, but in the end, it is about the world narrowing down to two people and getting to express your love and your desire and your commitment to them in that act. And so I think that was just a really stunning observation and a really beautiful comment on this piece, because I agree. I think that last stanza really does kind of capture that orgasm, if you will, that unity between the two. So thank you for that. That was stunning. And verses, what did you think? Were you happy with your decision there? Good pairing?
Well, yep. Actually, you know, after going through it and listening to it, I have to say I agree with it. So I'm really glad I agreed with it before and after. That's always a great thing. That's when you think you're going to agree with something, and then afterwards you're like, made a bad choice.
Well, I'm glad you were satisfied in your decision.
and it's a... I agree with you. It's a really cool way that she structures it, with being so touch, feel, smell, and just sensual in those ways, with like guide the sway of hips with the press of a palm back to belly, and then fingertips finding anchor at the nape of the neck, shivering under the second stanza. It's just brilliant. And Rex actually expanded upon that siphon size from the source and like blew my mind. It's one of those brevity poems where you just like, of itself could have done its own thing. So if you know anybody's listening afterwards, you're gonna have to dig through the comments just to... But I really like how just after that line that Rex used, my being left to quiver, grinding to ground myself in this moment, this really bringing down to reality, grinding to ground, just before going into that metaphysical. So it's not even just, you know, transitioning, it's coming all the way down before going all the way up. So it's really fun with how it does it. And that opening really, it's a little picture that paint a bigger scene and like how it's all laid out. So very well done.
Absolutely, an awesome comment. And I do love that you mentioned Rex. So for those that are listening and may not be part of the group, Rex is in the group. So when you're on the show, or if you call into the show, or if you're on allpoetry.com, we do have a group, Late Night Poets, on allpoetry.com, and we can interact with other authors who aren't calling into the show but are commenting on the show. And so we have one, Intimidus Rex. He's a fellow host and stunning poet, and he says, "Siphon size from the source. Lost in moments, deluge, branding the volume of moans left in its wake." And then, of course, he sends his little alien emojis. Rex did say it perfectly, Versus, and you're right. It does kind of capture that, the volume there. And personally, one thing I was going to remark upon is that I like that kind of S sound in this piece, because I think that the S sound perhaps kind of works with the idea of size. So it's kind of like that, you know, soft little moans possibly. But that was a beautiful comment, because it does, as you said, and as Kel said, and even Casey, or more so Casey said, of first, it does really capture that really beautiful physical connection that then leads into something more that we look for with our partners. So that was a beautiful comment. And thank you, Rex, for your little two cents. It's always welcome. I think what I really liked about this is that it is, from the first start, it says with magnetic gaze, eyes are locked. So we understand that at this point, the world has come down to a pinprick. And these are two people who are basically starting their dance long before they ever get to physically meet. And so they're drawn together. They have this need for touch, the feel of the press of the palm, like you said, versus the palm guiding the sway of the hips, which just feels like someone pulling someone closer, you know, finding a way to be both people trying to anchor themselves to each other. So I kind of, with that one, feel like there's this image of him holding her to him and her kind of like, I guess, anchoring her fingers in his, at the back of his neck. And then from there, it just becomes something more. No longer is it just the touch of the hand. Then we have the lips, then we have the breath, and it does kind of lead up to something that is far more than the physicality. It is that the notes that make, what they say, make me sing in notes unknown, writhing as you spin my world. It kind of gives that idea of the loss of control that we give in to our lovers so that they might too enjoy themselves. It's that trust, again, kind of like we spoke with about Kel's song, it's that trust of meeting someone and being able to connect with them in such a way that, you know, you get to make those little noises nobody gets to hear. You get to trust them as you give over to carnality. You get to experience the pour of them into you, be it physical pouring of a man, or even just the emotional pouring, quenching that need, or providing post-orgasm clarity. Either way, it is a stunning piece that really does kind of capture that buildup and culmination of that act. So beautiful rite for that forgotten mage. And so with that, what's next on the menu?
All right, what's next on the menu? I think we're going to serve up a fine dish of Casey, would you mind reading your poem for us? Post it up. Casey, that's right.
Okay, here we go. All right, ashes to ashes. I don't know if I'm ready.
You got this.
Ashes to ashes. Can my words seep into the cracks left behind when life left your eyes? Blackbird high in the night sky, something is still missing. Codeine flavored kisses, sticky sweet, how many secrets left to keep? Stuffing them into my throat, I swallow them down deep. Can I take all of you? Feeling like an overdose, I pulse, but I'm not breathing. You left me comatose. It's unfortunate, the devil. He's so damn handsome, and he's got me by the throat. I'll pay his price then some. I've lost my fucking mind. And I don't really care. My head on the floor, my legs in the air. And we go round and round, cartwheels across the Milky Way, leaving ashes we turn to dust and finish in a silky wave. Can my words seep into the cracks left behind when life left your eyes? Blackbird high in the night sky, something is still missing.
Teased Kells after she posted this because I was in a very weird headspace and I saw the poem Ashes to Ashes and all I could think of was Oogie Boogie being like ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But this definitely was not that. So thank you for that, Casey. That was a stunning read and write. And verses, would you mind sharing your thoughts?
Absolutely. So I really like your read. Thank you so much for sharing with us. It's always appreciated. There's so many different parts, so I apologize if it kind of comes off disjointed. Coating flavored kisses, I really like that allusion to the numbing of it, or that's what I got from it, I should say. That sticky feet with the reed, that stanza, can I take all of you, feeling like an overdose, I pulse, but I'm not breathing, you leave me comatose. That probably mentioned ad nauseum how much I really like the ABCD rhyme scheme, where it always seems to, like, it puts those emphasis on certain words that I really like, and that stanza uses it to great effect. I'm just going to, if I go down, I'll just keep saying all of the stanzas, and nobody's going to be able to comment, so I'm going to do that. And go round and round, part from the Milky Way, that ending, or the stanza just before the ending is really beautiful, and the climax of the piece, I feel it, that finishing in a silky wave and leaving ashes to dust, that is it's a really cool allusion to the end of what is. So, just really well written, really well read. I'm so thankful to have you a part of our show, Casey. You are awesome.
Oh, thanks. Beautifully said verses. And you're right, this is definitely a poem that is hard to pick out your favorite piece on it. It's hard to say this is the good part, because all of it is good. You can't help but appreciate the detail and the thought that was put in each stanza to create this beautiful thought that just kind of sticks with you. So thank you for that. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, Lord. I love Casey's writing. I really do. She's got such a beautiful technique, and it's her voice when she's reading it is just so amazing. Oh, good God. This is really, it's deep. It's very deep in some ways. Can I take all of you, feeling like an overdose? You leave me comatose. It's unfortunate, the devil, he's so damn handsome, and he's got me by the throat. I'll pay his price, then some. It's just, wow. It's... Casey, I don't know what to say. This is just absolutely beautiful. And that's all I've got. It's gorgeous.
Aw, thanks, Kel. It is definitely a gorgeous piece. And you do have this beautiful way of writing. Rex actually says, outstanding second stanza. The metaphor is marvelous, and this walks as a song in need of backing music to complete. Something vibrant with sax notes and raw blue feel guitar. I think what is so stunning to this piece, other than me getting the oogie boogie giggles, is that actually you reminded me of the Beatles song. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. That whole thing is talking about experiencing, that song speaks of experiencing something that you haven't before, or perhaps even being able to mend the wings, don't feel like they could fly. This, to me, speaks of something after that, when you've been broken. And this is going to be potentially personal for me. When you've been broken, you don't often see the light. You don't often see that things are repairable, or that you can continue on. And so when you mentioned codeine flavored kisses, sticky sweets, or the idea of it feeling like an overdose, when you find someone who lifts you up, it is it is amazing because it provides hope, it provides light, and finally it seems like you can soar out of the skies. But the end of your poem, and I agree, this does need to be a blues, because the end of your poem doesn't necessarily end happy. It starts where it began, with something is still missing. You're still trying to fly. Your wings are broken once more. And the reason this is personal to me is because, and I've spoken about this before, but I have a boyfriend who 15 years ago committed suicide. And the relationship with him started because I'd gotten out of an abusive relationship where my ex had attempted to rape me twice. And what led into his suicide is that he had had a fiance. I was college, he was college, but he'd had a fiance who in postpartum depression committed suicide. And on the 1 year anniversary, he could not overcome those demons. And so this poem to me, while it is beautiful and it is touching, also speaks of that hard pain because for me, he lifted me out of a very broken place. You know, it wasn't that everything's going to be okay. It was everything sucks right now, but we'll make it through it even if we're limping. And then to go back to that place having lost him was just extremely difficult. And so I feel like this piece captures that. It captures the beauty of the moment. It captures the relationship that's not meant to last, and yet it touches your life for the rest of your life. And you are left first wondering how you're going to fill those cracks because you feel like you're so broken and you feel like you've been left behind and you feel like you're just this neglected blackbird who can't really get anywhere in the night sky, who's never going to be seen and understands that something's missing, to understanding that the cracks that are in your life now is not because it's not reparable, but it's because someone who is important to you may never be able to be replaced. So it is so heartbreaking to read, and at the same time, it is so beautiful because it does express how euphoric such a love can be when someone loves you, when you are broken as you thought you could be, and how even if it's not meant to last, they can be like the devil who just gives you a little bit of pleasure and peace and happiness. Even if sometimes the leftovers are not so easy to live with. So a really beautiful piece, Casey. Thank you for sharing this.
Oh, you're so sweet. I don't even know what to say. I had to say something. I was saying something in the chat. But my God, I just love you so much.
Oh, I like you too. I love you too, lady. I'm sorry, go ahead. I spoke over you.
No, I was just saying, I just feel like we get each other so much, and I'm just floored at your understanding. You always have such great insight into some of the things I say, and I'm just dying over here, so I'm going to stop talking, but thank you.
No, absolutely, absolutely. It is truly my pleasure. All right, so I need to dry my eyes. So with that, Versus, where are you going to take us next?
Well, first I would like to thank you for sharing. It's always great to learn more about you, and, you know, it's tough to hear sometimes and probably tough to speak about, but it's through those expressions that we are capable of looking those demons in the face. So thank you very much for sharing, Victoria. It's always a pleasure to hear more about you, even the sad stuff. We like those good stuff, too.
Thank you for
getting it wrong. All right.
I just speak from personal experience. Oh, go ahead.
Right. We're headed towards Intimidus Rex's She-Devil Went Down to Georgia. Since he just wants to be on the board, I guess I'll read this one for him, as he's done for so many of my poems.
He does have a SoundCloud.
He has a SoundCloud.
I'm gonna make Rex play it because he told me just wait till you hear this. So guys, high expectations. Okay. All right, here we go.
She-Devil went down to Georgia. They could hear the rattle in her strut, that wiggle, viperesque. charming local adders into a writhing pandemonium of nipped heels from cow poking, chest thumping, horse manure spittoons. She was a rickshaw riot, grinning at a pit of fangless, undulating Winnebagos, 'cause those 9-inch nails were spiked contusions, two-stepping the suds in, bucketed fandangos, molten mystique. And he was a swallow of wings, silver-tipped in a charcoal Stetson, and Suede's hard bomb booted to the heat in her violet eyes. Then she asked, "Care to step all over this hair plantation and ravage my range with that beefy crop? You'll get nothing and like it. How about a game of pool?" She rosined up his cue as he racked those balls. That tip was firm and blue and spitting sudden draws. Fire flew from lingual tricks, flashing crossed his skin. She-devil whips and licks, digging deep within. But then the music stopped. That box was on the fritz. It seemed the mood had flopped. She was about to lose the blitz. Charcoal quartered up that cue and slid some silver in. Smoky eyes filled with the breath she drew as the dance would now begin. There's savagery on the table. Run, girl, run. Old Charcoal's packing a loaded gun. The rooster in the hen house holding sway. That cock crowing to the light of day. Gunfire filled the room as she took that blast. When another round did bloom, she knew she couldn't last. There was fire in her mountain, and then her lava flowed, streaming as a fountain on the 45 she rode. There's savagery on the table, run, girl, run. Old Charcoal's back in a loaded gun. The roost in the hen house holding sway, that cock crowing to the light of day. He left her upon that table, the she-devil had been beat. It was the beginning of a fable that she would oft repeat. The savage on the table, run, girl, run. Old Charcoal's packing the loaded gun. The roost in the hen house holding sway, the cock crowing to the light of day. Keep picking them strings, mama. You ain't going nowhere.
Oh, Lord heaven. I am grinning like a fool over here. That was a honey.
Hey, Victoria.
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt, but it sounds like you're really far away.
I appreciate you telling me that. I put my mic down away from my face, and it didn't work out well. So, all I was saying, not my mute button. I got a new headset, and I don't know how these things work. I've got I'm obsessed with headsets. I'm ridiculous that way. But I'm never good with it. So anyways, that was a stunning read and sing song by Intimidus Brex. And I'm going to put Casey on the spot and have you share your thoughts with us.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'm not going to lie. I loved this, Rex. I did. I put my expectations on high for the SoundCloud, and I was pleasantly not let down, I guess, because it was awesome. I love the way that you read it in such a way so that we felt like we were kind of in the old west, the wild west. And the way that it was written, the style, you start off saying viperesque, and then it kind of flows like a snake, and you think of like that. Like I think of, what do you call it? Like those old cowboys, what did they say? There's a saying. Anyway, blue-eyed snake or whatever, silver tongue snake, but it reminded me of that. I thought it was so good. The story was great. And then when you got to the part where you're like, care to step all over this here plantation and ravage my range with that beefy crop, and he said, you'll get nothing and like it. That was so good. The whole thing was great. It was fun. It had some humor. It had a really great beat. You sang. I'm going on, but I loved this. This is one of my favorite things I've ever seen you do, heard you do. I've added it to my page because I just love it so much. So really good job, Rex. I like it a lot.
That was a beautiful comment, Casey. And yes, I was going to tease you a little bit because you said presently and then pleasantly. And I was like, technically it was a present, pleasant surprise. So yeah, absolutely. A fantastic, fantastic piece and well worth ranting a little bit about, because he does have a lot of fun, playful, quirky little tidbits that he's sprinkled throughout to add a little bit of joy and seasoning in this to make it fun and lighthearted. So beautiful. And Cal, I'm going to guess that you are itching to talk about this. So what are you thinking about this?
I love Charlie Daniels.
I know. That Run Girl Run, it got me.
He did this rendition of The Devil Went Down to Georgia so well.
Mm-hmm.
It's pure delight. Absolutely. I was cracking up. Oh, man. Awesome. She rosined up his cue as he racked those balls. That tip was firm and blue and spitting southern drawls. Oh, golly. And what he does language... And most of his rights, the language he uses is right. It's spot on. You know, it's like if he's using a Cockney drawl or the southern banter type stuff, it's just really amazing. It's very well done and very funny. Good job, Rex.
I don't know if I liked the comment better or just all the giggles that came with the comment, but that was stunning, Kel. sitting over here like, don't interrupt her, but it was so fun.
When I was about 18, 19, which I'm telling you is probably about 40 years ago, okay? I did a chalk drawing in a silhouette as The Devil Went Down to Georgia's, and that just kind of brought that right back. And so I wish I still had it, because it was really awesome. It was good. It was really good. But I think I gave it away.
Oh, well, you'll have to use Rex's poem to make a new one, and it'll be, She Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Okay.
Just do that one. It'll be great.
Do it again.
Well, that was a beautiful comment, and you're right. He really does do a great job of capturing Devil Went Down to Georgia by Charlie. And so thank you for that. That was fun, and it was stunning. And you're right. He is a true wordsmith when it comes to changing his words to properly express the period in which he's in. So thank you for that, Kel. And Versus, what did you think, not having gotten to read it?
Well, I am pleasantly surprised that in the present I did not have to read it, because Rex did such a fantastic job. And I most definitely would not have given it even nearly as much emphasis or greatness. So I'm really glad that he provided that for us. I really like... I want to go into the technical side of things. We were talking about earlier in like a dance, another lower stance or something like that, where they like sensual to a metaphysical, where Rex does something similar, where he goes from a kind of a free form in terms of where it has in rhymes through it and uses of specific language to continue the flow of it. And then you have this change to that musical side of it. Kind of like when you're watching a music video and they have that, like, intro part, and I can totally imagine it as being almost two separate poems that are combined, where the beginning of it has just as much weight as the back end of it, and both are used to great effect. But I really like the consistent use of the gun as the metaphor and shooting its bullets, and 45s, any gun 45 is fairly large. I don't know if that's definitely a man-made metaphor right there. just Rex did it fantastically. The reed makes all of it come to life and walk in front of you and dance in front of you. So it's really just quite well done. The metaphors are on point. How it's created, the inner workings of it are just really magnificent if you're into just, you know, rhyme schemes and how things are set up, because even with, like, its timing and stuff, it's just really well done. So thank you so much for Rex. Thank you so much for putting it in, Rex. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm probably going to have this one saved just because it's – how can you not show that to your friends, right? Either we lost Victoria or the mute monster got her. I'm going to go ahead and guess that we just got our first drop of her.
We did, but I caught myself. So yeah. I'm back. And you guys don't know it, but there's really two of me at this point. So.
Oh, my God.
I know. Double trouble Victoria over here. I'm just glad that I caught it just at the right time to be able to get back in. So I'm gonna briefly comment on this real quick. But as everybody else said, this is just a stunning, clever piece. The wordplay that that Rex does, he creates these fun images. So we know what's going on. It can be serious. Yet he's playing with this idea. So he sets this up as this woman who is alluring. And it actually kind of reminded me, you know, talking about a snake, it kind of, again, I'm in a weird headspace, guys, so don't judge. It reminds me of Jafar and his snake staff, who, like, he hits it on the ground, or he like leans it in and the eyes, like, start to hypnotize. And so that's kind of how I picture the characteristics of this woman that Rex has set up with. You know, she's a vixen. She's viperesque. She's something that is sleek and alluring and sexy, but she is danger. And so Faith goes, oh, my God, Jafar is Jafar from my idea of sexy. Mine too, girl. But the snake staff. and he even plays with that. If I remember, adders are another type of venomous snake. It's another type of viper snake. So we have this viper-esque adder, just a creature that's really sleek, writhing. She just kind of makes her way in there. She's something that would be, and you think of the Wild West, it's desert, that kind of good stuff. And there would be snakes. There would be, you know, creatures that cowboys would have to watch out for that were finding safe haven in areas that they shouldn't be. And so this really feels like a creature who is coming in to a place where she's not supposed to be, maybe needs to be a little cautious around her. And here she is trying to make a way. And, you know, perhaps that's a hinting of just a dangerous woman. Perhaps it's just a woman of the time, a lady of the night of the time,
to it is probably someone you don't want to stick your 45 into. So she's playing with this idea of, hey, come play with me. And of course it's, you know, we're going to play a game of pool. That's what we're actually going to do. And yet the whole time it's kind of this idea that perhaps she's the one playing with the stick and getting it all queued up while he's just there enjoying the lingual tricks. And so I appreciate that. It's playful. It's fun. It takes a playful, fun song and kind of revamped it to something that's a little bit more, it's a different scenario, but it's the same kind of concept. You know, it's someone overcoming this vixen, if you will. So the devil is being chased off and the devil went down to Georgia. And here's a guy who's not fallen for the wily ways of a woman, of a Western, a Wild West woman. But there's a lot of fun wordplay that kind of just gives the point. And yet at the same time, it kind of gives her this warning, you know, there's savagery on the table, run girl, run, old charcoal's packing a loaded gun, which could imply that, you know, if she did things, there could even be an unwanted child. So there's just a lot of really fun play with the idea of the Wild West, a very effective use of the nuances of the time. And yet it's so fun and playful that you can't just help. You just fall into it and you get caught up into it and you giggle, even though it's a little bit quirky. But that's our Rex, sexy voice, quirky man. So anyways, with that being said, where are we off to verses? And it does look like Kels is running away.
Casey.
Or Casey's running away. Casey has ran away. Okay. Well, Casey, you sleep well. Thank you for joining us. And I'm so glad you came. Truly, it was a delight to have her on the show. All right. So with that, where are we off to verses?
All right. We are off to one that I will actually read. I don't know. Let me double check. Let me double check. Okay. No,
this one doesn't have a sound card.
Okay. This is Defilement by Lyrically Inclined. She's a queen. She has her crown defiled. Needing a superhero, the man of skill, I arrive to remove her burden of power. Here to make her powerless, I lock the door and undress her inhibitions. Pulling her hands above her head, she spins so I can take a look at this divine being before me. Curves of a statue made by Michelangelo himself, her allure has me salivating. Those pretty brown eyes have yet to see such sweet calamity that awaits her. Kissing her silky soft skin for years pampered with the beauty treatments bestowed upon royalty, I indulge in the coconut oils, sacred incense, and aromatic myrrh as I find my way to her insatiable orchid, her garden wet and ready to receive my enlightenment. I'm inclined to dine on the addictive taste of ambrosia that permeates her core. Like poetry, she writes expressions on my tongue. As she rides the waves of spiritual delight, her unsatisfaction crashes down like a fallen angel. I relish in her destruction. Now she's ready to receive my seed, feed my greed, and be ravaged by my devastating prowess. She's forgotten about her kingdom, renounced her crown, and begs to be treated like a temple prostitute. She's embarked on a path her royal parents never could imagine their princess would ever journey. Her caged beast has been released. As good as she takes, she gives. Back shots sounding like gunshots. Her primal growl won't come down until her soul is defiled. End poem.
We'll read verses. I'm actually going to steal the first comment on this one. I think what I really appreciate about this is that the Black Lace Diaries typically explores lifestyles and intimacy in a way that is not always seen or portrayed positively in Hollywood and society. And so one of those things is domination. And this to me speaks of a woman who is used to ruling, a woman who is in charge, who has her shit together. And yet with the right man, she doesn't care about any of that. She's willing to give herself to be used and abused, all so that they might enjoy themselves. It is the freeing idea of relinquishing control and giving it over to another person to have their way with you, so that you might revel in the moment of just being. And as someone who quite enjoys that myself, I really connected with this piece because, you know, in my life, I deal with clientele, I deal with emergencies, I deal with everything. I'm the one who's in control. And so it's always nice to have that freeing moment where I don't have to be. It's not my problem. It's not my burden. I'm just there for the ride. And this really speaks to that. I especially appreciated towards the end of the poem, she's forgotten her kingdom. In this moment, again, that world has gone down to a pinpoint and it is encompassed entirely in this moment, in the feel of her lover, senses that are becoming overwhelmed through the action and the moments played out. She's able to release her inner desires that often have to be caged and hidden. She wants to be essentially the temple prostitute, someone that no one cares about, only to be used, only to be discarded. And because of that, she is able to enjoy this moment. And he too gets to have that dominating power, the idea of he is giving her this speed and she will take it, even though it's a willing thing. It's kind of that really fun power play, taking someone who's so put together and corrupting them. It's beautifully done. And I do got to read. Rex in the chat says, "Thy being hath felt the thunder of a god, and you relish in the bonfire of your vanity, sated in gruff carnage." And it is. Sometimes we just need to let go and let be and enjoy the carnality and the moment. So beautifully said, Rex, and a beautiful write by Lyrically Inclined. And Kel, what did you think?
Well, after listening to you, I totally, totally agree. You know, I don't work anymore. I retired. But just being in charge of my household, you know, and having to make all the decisions and doing everything myself, it gets old. It gets so old. And having someone just, you know, like this, just come in and just take over my sensuality. It's just, wow. It would be such an amazing thing. You know, and the way she expresses that is magnificent, to say the least. And it's kind of a dream, right? You know, to have that bond with somebody and that trust, because it takes a lot of trust to let somebody come in and just totally take control of you, you know, because you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know if they're going to cause pain or whatever. So it's just, you know, it's a very trusting thing. But it's very well done and very beautiful, and I think you said it perfectly. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. And that was a beautiful comment because, again, it's, you know, sometimes I think people who, and it, you know, everybody lives a different lifestyle and there's no right way to live, you know? But when you are so used to making all those decisions, it is nice to not have to worry about something as simple as pleasure and sensuality and sexuality and intimacy. It's nice to have someone just kind of take that moment and say, I want you now and you're going to do it. You know, and of course it's always with the understanding of, like, if they say no, it's no, and having that trust that they're not going to do things that you don't like. And so I kind of hearken back to, you know, the intro of this is, you know, we get to have this fun as long as we stick to the rules. You know, there are those rules that we trust the people that we are with to follow and play along with. And so I think what your comment really exposes is that even if people don't live in a lifestyle that plays with dominance and submissives, or, you know, masters and slaves, it doesn't mean that it's still not unappealing. Even if it's once in a while, it doesn't have to be a personal taste, but just that reprieve of control and of responsibility is always something that is appreciated, be it via sex and intimacy, or be it just someone saying, you know what, go sit down, stick your feet up, I got the dishes tonight. It's that idea of being cared for on a deeper level. So that was really beautifully said, Kel. Thank you for that. And Versus, what did you think?
I have like two parallel thoughts going on right now. One is, so a lot of this poem, the woman, the queen, and, you know, the royalty of it and just how that affects her, but it's kind of subtle. There's that I, and so you're getting this from a first-person point of view, and I mean, where it can be kind of cocky, powerful, you also get this idea that while she's a queen, he's not, and he's kind of just an ordinary person who happens to be, you know, dominant, and she favors him. So it's like, it's not as if he is actually the man of skill. That's who she's looking for, but that is an image beyond who he is specifically. Maybe it's meant to imply that he is that person, but it's almost like this. He's just an ordinary guy who happens to be with a queen, is the feeling I got. And also the idea of the stanza, renounced her crown and begs to be treated like a temple prostitute. I kept getting stuck up on like a temple prostitute because I'm like, every religion I've ever known is against prostitution. And I mean, I don't know all of them. So, and I don't know everything about all of them. So, so it's a limited knowledge base, but it gives me that idea of like, it's kind of a contradiction, but it's also, if you read it in another way, she begs to be treated like a holy whore is kind of the idea. And all of the other lines have that kind of typical poetic expression where it aggrandizes her or makes the beauty stand out or makes the act be something greater and bigger and more beautiful and almost heavenly. But for some reason, that line really stuck out to me as just like how contradictory it is, how it's kind of a double entendre intended. And yeah, so I mean, all of the poem is really, really well done, but it has some of the just has like lines that really stuck out and or really inspired me. So yeah, thank you, Lyrically Inclined.
I think that was a really stunning observation, because you're right. As a woman, it is easy for me to get caught up kind of in that idea of a queen, because again, personally relate. But you know, lyrically inclined, he does a great job of really expressing these observations of himself towards the person that he is with or writing about, or his inspiration for the idea. And so I do appreciate how you kind of mentioned that it could be read as a Disney headset. It could be read as Aladdin versus Jasmine. and, you know, you have this person who's not really royalty, who's not really worth anything based upon society, who is with someone of high class. And I, too, also did really appreciate you mentioning the holy prostitutes because, fun fact, there were holy prostitutes. Typically in a fertility temple, it was seen as an act of worship for women to have sex. And so this does offer up that idea of a holy prostitute. But even furthermore, if we hearken it back to the idea of a fertility goddess, then even the idea of him offering up his seed could be seen as a gift to a goddess. So again, he may be calling her, you know, a temple prostitute, but he is elevating her as a carrier of a gift to a goddess. So I really appreciate that thought, because I think that's really observant and really, I mean, it definitely makes you like sit and ruminate on it. So I think that's, I think that was quite stunning. So thank you for that. And Rex says, lest that queen Serene is quite often seen chasing her king with a bone. yeah, that's fair. Sometimes men do drive us mad in good and bad ways. All right. So we've got about 35 minutes left, and I know we've got at least one more piece of the SoundCloud, and we've got a couple of fillers, if maybe. So where are you taking us, Versus?
To the ones or left.
Awesome.
So it should be up in the chat now, if you don't mind starting the SoundCloud board.
Absolutely. This is Dirty Cocktails by Argo Wings.
I've filled your smirk at my advance, till my teeth nipped your lemon drop lips, thumb probing your sugar impout. Screw your wide-eyed margaritas. I need dirty raw tequila and white lines the length of your spine.
Tongue greedily licking up Jose Cuervo from the creamy curve of exposed flesh. My thirst raging against velvet terrain, I tear cloth from sultry hips. Your shot at coy has expired. My domain demands in salty sweet moans and lingering ice cubes trailed across fiery folds.
Your unbroken curls beg, twisted fistfuls bare in your lustrous throat. Nipples febrile slip between crushed ice fingertips. Shudders, snatch gasps as I slam your ass, biting citrus slice. Are we here to fight or fuck? You're as greedy as me. We meld the two.
Haughty pride dictates I'm the first nub your tongue will strung. I grin and flip your supple form, so my curved hips violently vibrate to your flicks. My teeth nibble on a sapid morsel. Gorging, we build our coming burn.
Let me watch your eyes roll as fingers fill you, finish you, fuck you breathless. Let me breathe again. Take me with you to where nameless, seething sex.
I arrive, towing the line of torment, waiting for you to meet me at the edge. Curled digits and lusty suck push you over. Crashing, I give in to the fall. Taut muscles clothed in satin heat vibrate in sweet feminine release. Converging forced inhales, I rest my lazy lips, knowing my hunger for you. Good thing you're hungry too.
Ace. Stunning read and write by both No Middle Name and Argoing. Thank you for that. And Versus, would you mind starting us off with some comments?
Absolutely, yeah. so it's really cool. I haven't personally done any collaboration, so the idea has been kind of one of those that isn't to me. So seeing somebody else's piece definitely was a cool, like, inspiration point. And this is such a good, like, example of how it can be used, where it's almost two dynamic points being made, or two poems that are colliding, I guess is the easiest way to say it, but also intermingling and meshing, which goes with the idea of it being, you know, a very sexual poem, and the idea that it's called Dirty Cocktails, and then it goes from margaritas to the Jose Cuervo to how things expand and continue forward. So it's, and if I'm not mistaken, there is also like a rhyme between the two different poets together where it does have a free form feel to it, but still maintains some rhyme and interconnectivity, which again, feeds into the idea of it being a very sexual poem, and just the words themselves can be, or especially that read, can bring that idea or feeling to you. So this is just very well done and very inspirational.
I think that was a really awesome comment. And I have to kind of giggle because you kind of mentioned how it starts with the, you know, the idea of drinks and goes to the need for tequila. And there's an old song. I hate to admit that it's old now, but there's a song that says tequila makes your clothes fall off. And this poem proves it. But you're right. They did do a fantastic job of weaving and working together to create this piece that really does flow nicely together, even though it is two separate poets who were collaborating. So beautiful comment first. And Kel, what do you think?
I like the two dialogues. It just brings it all together, having both sides of the interplay, for a better word, between the two. It's just really amazing writing and very spicy, hot, and just very well done.
Absolutely. They definitely do not lose any heat in this write. And even as it moves and flows throughout the rest of it, it still really does pull you in so that you continue along the journey with them, just kind of getting to enjoy it. I think what I really appreciate is that there's almost this power struggle. It starts with drinks and, of course, liquid courage before tequila makes your clothes fall off. But then it really goes into this idea of who is the dominant, who is the one in control, who is really leading this dance. And we see at first kind of this matching of power struggle of who's in charge. And yet in the end, she overcomes, if you will, which is always, you know, it's a fun dynamic to play. And perhaps even it hints at the idea of role playing, because you have these people who are having this struggle, the idea of, are we here to fight or fuck? You're as greedy as me. We meld the two. So it's this idea of this battle. And yet his portion falls away, or at least the male side seems to give into wanting instead of dominating to watch. You know, let me enjoy this. And it almost asks permission as she continues to kind of say, you know, I'm in control. I writhe, towing the line of torment, waiting for you to meet me at the edge, curled digits and left a shoe over, crashing. So we do have that power struggle where we get to see a dom or a dame, a female dominant, kind of emerge, even though there's been this faux power struggle that just adds to the foreplay and to the fun. And of course, it's called wrestling for a reason. So I think this was a truly stunning rite. And as Bertha said, and even Kel, you guys really did come together beautifully to where we are able to, verses dropped, to where we are able to enjoy the piece that we have. So with that being said, I'm going to let him know that he dropped. Don't tell me that my co-host is going to take over my habits. Dropping off the show. So with that, I'm actually going to get a piece by Pam up. And Kel, would you mind reading this one?
Sure. Okay. Oh, good. Pam Ray. Music engulfs. The music engulfs. Intensity builds, shivering, gasping, invisible fingers manipulating, tension demanding to be released into the ebb and flow of unrepentant emotions. Music evolves into the beating of the heart, a symphony waltzing with the desires of the body, the madness in the mind, and the nightmares that have been embraced. In silence, there is no peace, only the calling out of a soul writhing with the enticement of agony, clasped hands, sharing breaths, caressing the wire brush of memories that need to be heard. The music is the voices of the dead, whispers, chants, and wails, clinging. A birth monster raged euphoria, dancing in the arms of the dead, craving darkness as a lover. End poem.
A stunning write by Pam and a beautiful retell. Thank you. And welcome back, Versus.
Well, thanks for having me.
You know, I was wondering if you were going to come hang around. Don't go picking up my bad habits.
Honestly, I think it's because I emit like a weird electrical vibration, and I know that sounds weird, but like I set the phone down on myself and it hung up. So like if,
oh my goodness.
It's not like I set it down face down. I set it for sure, 100%. And I was like, yeah,
oh my
so never do
well,
that again.
With your crazy phone hanging up vibrations, what did you think of Pam's piece?
So I agree. This is just a stunning piece, and I mean it's so crazy to see that. I mean, it's only 4 years ago, but to see Pam's been, you know, so prolific for so long on this site, she's such a blessing to us all. So I just wanted to appreciate her real quick before going into it. Yeah, and I think she, it's like more intended as a darkness to the that love and to that the sensuality of everything, because as much as it can be read sexually, it can be read as a dance with darkness or with one's you know, demons in a sense, where it's got that nice dualistic balance that it's not engaging in one or the other too much or too forcefully, where both can be entirely right in how you read it. And so it's just, it's so well crafted in how it deals with that borderline. I really liked it.
I would agree. I don't think that this was necessarily a sensual piece, but it does kind of speak to how memories can hold or be held within music. And in this instance, it's kind of those dark memories, you know, and even your comment reminds me of what we spoke about, that frisson, the physical effect of music upon our bodies. And in this case, it bringing out those demons and those memories and that darkness, because sometimes when that's the place we're in, that tends to be the companionship that we seek. So I think that was a really stunning comment. Thank you. As usual, Pam just gives a stunning write. Like you were saying, Versus, I think that it really does read as that darkness, a way to fill the void when there doesn't seem to be anything else to do, and even the agony that's coming out of it. And if we look at pain and we look at darkness and we look at how it can shape our life, it almost reminds me of the concept that there's music everywhere if we just learned how to listen. And this is that dark melody that kind of torments us in those midnight hours when we don't have anything else to distract our mind. I mentioned earlier at the start of the show that I'm running on caffeine and insomnia. Part of that insomnia is caused by trauma because my boyfriend that committed suicide, for example, told me he called me the next day, hung up after telling me he loved me, shot himself in the head, and I actually woke up to a friend confirming if I hadn't spoken to him and then telling me that he had died. And so I have now developed what's called hypervigilance. So I try and sleep, but I can't because things happen that make me terrified to sleep, so my body doesn't shut down. And so then I'm kind of left in these midnight moments of all my demons coming back, and you hear the noises of the house, you hear the little nuances, and it becomes this background or soundtrack to these dark moments. And so particularly when Pam says, in silence, there is no peace, only the calling out of a soul writhing with the enticement of agony. That to me really struck a chord, because it reminds me again of those midnight moments where you're just trying to make it through the night. And yet when you have that quiet, when you have that peace, that's when all the memories flood back. And all the terrible ideas or calls from the void tend to seep to the surface and overtake our thought. And so to me, that piece is particularly stunning, because again, that's when you start trying to find those sounds to fill that void, so you don't have to deal with that. And of course, there is that craving for darkness as a lover, because if you're enshrouded in it, if you're part of it, it can't hurt you. And yet it often ends up being more like rotted rags than it does being any help. So stunning, stunning write by Pam, as always. And Kel, having read it, what did you think?
I gotta say, I really enjoyed this. Music engulfs, and it does. The music involves into the beating of the heart, a symphony waltzing with the desires of the body, the madness of the mind, and the nightmares that have been embraced. Pam is, she's an awesome person, period. Absolutely. I don't know how she has the time to do everything she does, you know, and then she, plus, you know, she writes and she runs these contests and the shows, and she does so much for our group. It's amazing. I just, she stuns me. I don't know how she does it. I'm out of my league. But yes, this poem is just absolutely stunning and breathtaking and beautifully done.
Well, I can tell you how she does it. She's the Kevin of late night poets. She sees everything. She knows everything. Yeah, and even when you think she's not watching, something's there. No.
She's something else.
She absolutely is. She is just a stunning and person. So thank you, Kel, for that. She definitely does have a talent that I think everybody appreciates, and LMP especially, for everything she does. All right, Versus, we've got about 15 minutes left, so where do you want to take us?
How about we spend 15 minutes just appreciating everybody who's super awesome in late night poets? Because there's like Pam, Kel, always around. Victoria, you're awesome. Rex is always around doing awesome stuff. Loranto is around doing awesome stuff.
We're all Mika, awesome, Versus.
Still My Eyes. Still My Eyes is like the founder of this, right?
Yeah, true.
Got Gray Eyes, can't forget, you know, all of the wonderful hosts that do their stuff. Just, you know, I just have that core of love just in me that I didn't get to express yet. So everybody at LMP, you're awesome. We appreciate you.
No, and you're right. The really beautiful thing about the shows is that, you know, we get to see all the poets that work together. And, you know, we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We don't do this. We aren't paid to do this. You know, this is all volunteer because we just love the group and we love the poets that we work with. And we love the craft that we like to play with. But it is really beautiful the way that we grow together and uplift each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been times where, you know, there's been criticisms that, you know, the radio show talks about poems and we always say good things. The purpose of that isn't that, you know, we're going to uplift some poets and not others, because some people are starting off And, you know, they need that word of encouragement. And I think that the group is really stunning in that, because we show poets where they are succeeding so that they can expand on that. You know, yeah, there's weaknesses that everybody can improve on. There's weaknesses I can improve on. There's weaknesses that Rex, who is just this master wordsmith, can improve on. But it's always nice to highlight the good things first rather than tear people down. And I think that's where LNP really shines, because we truly, yeah, at least from my experience, yeah, truly try to build people up.
So, I've got other groups, but LNP is, it's my go-to. You know, awesome. And
LNP is all
shows.
You need. No.
What?
Oh, I said LNP is all you need.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I've tried to go to the other ones, and, you know, I just can't seem to get the interest to really bond with them like I have with LNP. The contests, the shows, the poets, you know, they're inspiring, and, I don't know, they keep me going. Seriously, they
well,
keep
I
me
can
going.
Tell you, I can tell you that we love to have you. And it's, you know, and truthfully, you know, we're not, it's not a competition. You know, it's not about one group being better than the other. But, you know, I do love LNP for what it is. And so, you know, I think yeah, Phil has done a beautiful job. So, but with that being said,
everybody.
Oh, well, we love you being here, Cal. I mean, I was sad when I didn't see you for a little bit, so I'm glad that I'm getting to see you again. But it does look like we have another poem up and verses. Are you gonna read it to us? Because I didn't upload any SoundCloud.
Yes, I did not upload a SoundCloud, and sure, I will read it for you. With just the preface of I'm forgetting so many names, and as you were talking, I just kept thinking of names, and I don't want to go on a list, but we love you, LNP. All right. This is Blind Spotting.
Amen.
Blind Spotting by Versus Goliath. Bloody, bloody Mary, what'd you just say? Triangle's your favorite shape. Alternate J's smoked, eh? 3 points where two lines meet, until Bermuda morning, let's tessellate. Tesla himself, shocked, electricity slithering through wires, disappearing, hearing throaty spires spark, primed minds nearing metaphor, mimic me in threefold, please. Tangential angels angling for a fix, stick around for divine comedy, gentle gelatin gangly, hungry licks, thick sound, or swine before calcium carbonate, laugh track, hack, wheeze, snicker, tickle, pickle, oh bloody Mary, bury me, look me in the fucking eyes, appointment underground, hurry, sickle, sickle, versus two meta for I, point men at perverse glory, oh Gloria, Shizen, name, my dear son, I decided when I came, you'd be Obi-Wan, so be the best you can Obi. Bow, bow, bloody hell, how, William Tell, me now not in a cell, foul, foul, chicken melt, tut, tut, call me mummy, brainless being bumbling, cerebral cortex gummy, like worms, words mumbled, hut, hut, context crummy, pyramid smoked, lucky brand, flip one over, save that one for last. In Bermuda, where triangles reign, Queen and I riding our ecstasy plane, radar disconnected, flying blind, scream for God into the fog, in vain. Nose dive into water, nearly drown. Lover and my gasps were air, the only sound. Throes of waves, weathered then crowned, overthrown by unfaltering pressure around. Taste the sea of this forbidden zone, place rarely seen, morbid happiness, not alone. Holding tight to our Houdini honing, escape gripping ocean with muscles grown. Where were we? I lose myself in you sometimes, which I guess is a good sign. And poem.
That was a great read and write versus. Well, Kels, I love the laugh, so tell me what you're thinking.
I just got stuck on that very last line. That cracked me up. Where were we? Yeah, I lost myself a long time ago versus... I lose myself in you sometimes, which I guess is a good sign. I just got so caught up in just the rhythm and the flow of it. You know, it was just words. You know, it's just words. But it was just so fabulously written. You know, you just get lost. I don't know what else to say. But it was awesome. Good job.
Thank you.
Beautifully said, Kels. And honestly, I would agree. I think this poem is really effective because it does kind of start out with like this conjuring of mysticism. And from there, we kind of get to see the magic of it all. So there's the hint of like Bloody Mary, the Bermuda Triangles, perhaps even getting a little high. Tesla, who... you know, could conjure electricity out of seemingly air, which that's a whole story in and of itself. And then, of course, having it all kind of devolve into to this wordplay. So, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I know that one at least. I'm a Trekkie, but I know Obi-Wan Kenobi. But the wordplay of I decided when I came you would be Obi-Wan, so be the best you, Kenobi. Bow, bow, bloody hell, how, William Tell, me now, not in a cell, foul, foul, chicken mouth. I like that, foul, spelled like a bird, foul, as if it's bad, chicken mouth, kind of that. It's quirky and it's fun, but it does have a lot of those little plays in it that then kind of catch you up, only to remind you that perhaps you've fallen into the mysticism of this place. And you reunite that in that second the second portion. You really kind of capture us in that mysticism of it, bringing it finally back to it being the person that you are with, being the lover. Because when you're with someone and you have fun and you enjoy it, sometimes you can go off in really weird topics and get quirky and get weird and, you know, goofy, and yet they're in it with you. They're enjoying it, even if they're the cause. And that truly is what creates the relationships that last. So I think this was really stunning in the way that you actually kind of conveyed the way that you can get wrapped up in a lover. And then, of course, ending it with the, oh, wait, where were we? I guess it's a good sign that I lose myself in you, because that's ultimately what I think anybody would want. So beautifully penned verses. All right. We've got about 7 minutes and we only have my poem left. So we'll skip it and we will, I'm going to, do you like that, Kel? Rex says on verses. Rex says on verses. He goes, heat in a blood filled entrees, entreaties in trance, love the triangle toast throughout the play on words, illusions and the sizzle of arced lightning and the humorous touches and the finished ponders that thought of Hope I did the right to honor Rex. So coming this week, there's a lot of really fun shows that are going on this week. We've got some contests up. Be sure to check out the contest topic of Late Night Poets. You can find all the contests that are being hosted for the shows, as well as all the group members, so you can kind of stay in the loop and play there. always check out LNP After Midnight for our After Midnight shows to see what is airing that day. Or you can check out Late Night Poets at Blog Talk Radio, which is where we're listening in at, and that gives us our early shows. We do have Strange Magic After Midnight on Wednesday next week with me and Mika, and we are going to be looking at Weaned on Poison, which is just a really fun concept. And then, of course, on Sunday, we will be back with Hearts of LNP, and we will be finishing up our pet poetry. So So it's going to be fun. It's going to be lighthearted. We're going to have some giggles, and I'm probably going to talk too much about fun animal facts, but what else could you expect from me? So with that being said, go ahead, Kel.
Nothing. I'm just listening.
Okay. Okay. So with that being said, I do want to thank Faith, Casey, Kel for calling in, Versus for being a fantastic co-host with me. Thank you for hosting the contest this week. And then also to all the poets that allowed us to read their work and that are submitting to our contest. Truly, it is you guys that make this possible. So with that being said, I hope you all have a wonderful night, and we will see you on Sunday. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.